We have covered so far this week the number five most important Cleveland Brown for the 2023 season in Dalvin Tomlinson. We have covered the number four most in Cleveland Brown for the 2023 season in Amari Cooper. Today we get to the number three most important Cleveland Brown for the 2023 season, cornerback Denzel Ward. We're going to break it all down now. Your latest Locked On Browns, Jeff Lloyd, joined by Sports Illustrated's Pete Smith.
You are Locked On Browns, your daily Cleveland Browns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends, your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound LGB on ELOB, the Locked On Browns podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Your host, Jeff Lloyd, at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. Joined today by Sports Illustrated Browns Digest, Mr. Pete Smith, at _Pete_Smith_. If you are not a part of the Browns Digest family every day, getting your reading in, make sure you take care of that now. As far as Locked On Browns, to all the everydayers who make Locked On Browns their first listen every single day, to the new folks, draft season, obviously transactions, rookie minicamp, OTAs again underway today. Be more like the everydayers. Make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Browns YouTube channel, notifications on, so when the content drops, you're all there to absorb it. Audio-wise, Locked On Browns, always available, always free, wherever you get your podcast. As I mentioned, we have been covering this week the top five most important Cleveland Browns for the 2023 season. We did Dalvin Tomlinson. We did Amari Cooper. Coming in at number three, Denzel Ward. Segment three, we're going to talk a little bit about time for a secondary to gel. Are the Cleveland Browns going to be able to afford that with such an early, tough season slate on the schedule? Segment two, yes, Denzel Ward important, but new acquisition in Juan Thornhill. Can Greg Newsome, can Martin Emerson even out this cornerback rotation? And hopefully the Browns have the dominance at the position that they are thinking about. But first and foremost, the number three most important Cleveland Brown for the 2023 season, Denzel Ward. Pete, this is an interesting selection, but I do understand the basis of it. Obviously, we're talking defensive line play, and it's been an issue for the Cleveland Browns for years. One name has already been put on this list. Perhaps we'll get to another one here in the next two episodes this week. But secondary play, D-line play, work hand in hand together. And the key to it, and now Denzel Ward, now going into year six, now going into, obviously, the contract extension years, one of the biggest mountains in front of the Cleveland Browns, the nearest biggest mountain would be the Cincinnati Bengals. We all know what that team brings. But, Pete, Denzel Ward, the number three most important Cleveland Brown for 23.
Well, I mean, Denzel Ward is not only the highest paid defensive back on the team, he's also the the guy of this group who's coming off the worst season. He did not play particularly well this past year. Wasn't a good look to sign this lucrative extension and then not play well. There's a lot of things that go into that, but he's got a lot to prove. And the way the Browns have sort of designed their roster, it's not always a foregone conclusion that Denzel Ward will be here for many more years, because they have brought in so many guys. So if Greg Newsome plays well, if Martin Emerson keeps playing well, if Cameron Mitchell suddenly looks good, all of a sudden you have this opportunity to say, we can trade him if we really want to. And I don't think that's really where the Browns want to go. What they want is for him to be a true number one corner that can, in a defense that's going to play more man, which is what he has done historically the best, is to be that dude. And when he plays well, it's just like Amari Cooper on the other side. He sets the table for everybody else. And if guys can't target him, and the guy he's going against, because he's making plays on the ball, he's a threat to intercept passes. Obviously, Jamar Chase, that play, that interception return in Cincinnati is obviously a big time play for Denzel Ward. Now creates more favorable matchups for Emerson and Newsom. So when they get targeted now, hopefully those guys are able to get more opportunities to make plays on the ball and potentially cause turnovers. So like when Denzel Ward is good, he's really good and he can play with just about anybody, you know, save for the outliers in size. But when he struggled like he did last year, he just, it was a miserable experience for everybody.
And the thing with Denzel, Pete, is, you know, sometimes the big play, the splash play, kind of can overcome and basically cover up, you know, some of the warts. You know, look at it last year, obviously, you know, scored two touchdowns on, you know, fumbles, one basically a Hail Mary. The ball ended up in the end zone against Pittsburgh Steelers. The Houston, you took it from Jacob Phillips, by the way, meanie. And then the Houston Texans ones, obviously. You know, just a gift wrapped, you know, 5 yard. But also, you know, one of the things we've always talked about, and you know, some of the concerns with Denzel is understanding yourself. And, you know, Denzel, yes, he is a good tackler. There are times, though, where he gets himself in a bad position, which leads to Denzel Ward getting dinged up. Look, missed time is missed time. That is never something I can really truly use to, you know, down somebody on. This is not the easiest game in the world. Keeping your health is not the easiest thing in the world. Playing a position that requires as much athleticism as the cornerback position does, it's just difficult to be ready to go each and every week. The guys who can go 17 games, now 17, of course, those guys a lot of times are maybe more, you know, the outlier. They are not necessarily, you know, the standard, so to speak. But you factor all of this in, and now that you look at this and what Denzel is on the books for, it's as much as last year at times was not good, it'll manifest itself a little worse this year with basically, you know, the salary being what it is as he goes into now, you know, this second year, this second contract, this big extension.
Look, I mean, the contract comes with expectations. In addition to being the fourth overall pick and not being Jaire Alexander,
there's just we're not sour. We're not sour.
Look, I like Denzel Ward. I just happen to like the other guy better.
And we could have traded down, but you know, it's another story.
He's the tent pole in your defense, along with Myles Garrett. Those are like the big two, and obviously they've added to that by bringing in all these other players. But those are the two guys they said, this is who we're building our defense around. So just like Myles Garrett, obviously, you know, Myles Garrett is on a Hall of Fame track and one of the greatest players in the league. And people are still will bag on him because he doesn't get seven sacks in a game. It's, you know, that's not quite to that level with Denzel Ward. I think Denzel Ward is largely treated relatively fairly, even with kid gloves a little bit, just because of his local ties, which is fine. But look, he's got to play well. And because the Browns keep building the roster they do, they are inherently sort of forcing a standard. It doesn't allow him to sort of let down because there's so much competition there, both at corner and then at receiver, that's going to force him to be challenged. And hopefully that gets him ready to go. So there's just a lot there for Ward to do well. And if he does, look, this is one of the things about the defense last year. For all the things that, you know, Joe Woods this and Joe Woods that, like Denzel Ward just didn't play well, and that was a big problem for them. If he plays well, that's a major boost for this team. And obviously, the goal is with interior improvement and the edge play that they're going to generate more pressure, and that's going to inherently help the corners, which it should. But like with that, it also just means that Denzel Ward's got to play up to his ability. If he does that, the Browns defense is going to be much better this year.
And, you know, Denzel has streakiness to him, which is a very, very dangerous thing to be a cornerback. You know, you'd rather be steady. You don't want to be streaky. But 100%, if one of the big onuses of bringing in Jim Schwartz and the moves that have been made now on this defensive line is to improve your pass rush, to get after quarterback. This is one thing that probably benefits Denzel Ward more than anybody else in that secondary, is the fact that Denzel Ward has a great ability to break on the football and to, you know, create interceptions for himself. And when you have a hurried quarterback, when you have a rushed quarterback, the opportunities increase for just that. So for Denzel Ward, that should be, hopefully, the recipe for a bounce back season more big plays and him now getting the opportunity here in year one of this contract extension to showing people that he is perhaps capable of living up to said contract extension. We're going to move on here. Now, it is interesting because the way he came into this, Denzel Ward, is, you know, hopefully bouncing back and now with the contract extension. For other guys in that secondary, they could be mentioned here, and some of that would be stepping up or being part of this team in their first season. We're going to get to that segment too. Jeff Lloyd, Pete Smith, your latest Locked On Browns. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Look, FanDuel, they give you great promotions every day. The site, it's easy to navigate. It's safe. It's secure. You get your money instantly. There's no better place to bet all of the playoff action than America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon and get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Jeff Lloyd, Pete Smith, continuing here on your latest Locked On Browns, continuing the series this week of the top five most important Cleveland Browns for the 2023 season. Dalvin Tomlinson, number five. Check that episode out if you didn't. Amari Cooper, number four. Check that episode out if you didn't. Number three, Denzel Ward. Pete, big addition here, made it the free safety position. Juan Thornhill comes in a lot. Look, granted, again, we're talking about a different defense coordinator, a different defensive system, but a true free safety brought into the mix, a more athletic, a more ball-hawking type of guy with a player like Juan Thornhill coming in here. But Pete, you could also, if we were going to mention this, you know, Greg Newsome, and the questions during the offseason, Nickel, where is he? Is he happy? This, that, and the other thing. Martin Emerson, who is, I believe, PFF's highly most anticipated Brown to make a jump here in year two after a solid year one. The case could have been made here for any one of these three guys. And we did talk D-line, and maybe we'll continue to talk D-line. Certainly had to talk secondary. But for Thornhill, Newsome, or even Martin Emerson, they could have been mentioned here. A, Thornhill first year here and hopefully being that on the roof safety that, you know, the Browns have not had probably for a while, or Newsome or Emerson, maybe taking their abilities up closer to a level of Denzel Ward and maybe getting involved in creating some turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, look, Greg Newsome obviously has a major opportunity to come back and play well this year. And I don't think he played that badly last year, even in his issues with the slot. I think he got better over the course of the year. But he becomes a versatile
player. I got to believe some of that is about your agent telling you, man, you don't want that label. That label don't get you paid.
Which on its face is stupid. Because if he hits free agency, other teams aren't going to be suddenly like, well, I guess he can't play on the outside because he's not playing in the slot. Like,
I've got footage of him. He's played out there and he's played pretty well.
Right. Like, so that part doesn't bother me. And look, he's going to have more opportunities to play in a coverage he wants to play. He's another guy who's thrived in man. That's a large amount of what Northwestern does. He can play well. You know, so that becomes a major factor for him. Martin Emerson, he's going to be their designated big receiver cover guy. Obviously, he's covered T. Higgins, he's covered George Pickens, and some of these other guys.
Mike Williams.
Yes,
Mike
Williams. I mean, that was
huge. That was a change. That play could have absolutely changed that game.
And then, you know, he's probably going to do a fair share of press. He's a big guy and can
good length.
And you know, hopefully this year he plays the run a little bit more like we saw out of Mississippi State, where he would just, you know, end people. and obviously those guys are important, but like PFF mentioned Emerson as their breakout player for the Browns. And I wrote about this and said, look, you could have flipped a coin between Emerson and Newsome because they're both, for all the reasons we just talked about with Ward, one, Ward plays better, they're going to benefit. And two, if the pass rush is good, they're going to benefit. So those they even if they don't necessarily improve on their own, which they should, they're going to benefit if those other things play well. The other reason that that those guys could benefit is Juan Thornhill. Juan Thornhill is going to be a major, major, major part of this defense. He's the, you know, they're going to play a whole lot of single high. That is what Juan Thornhill does. He's a center fielder. Even if the Guardians may want to sign him up to be a relief pitcher at the moment.
Hey, look, he might have the ability to play center field and hit zero home runs like the current Guardian center fielder. I'm just saying. Well, he's already said he's going to hit some bombs.
Well, at the very least, he can hit better than he can hit more than their current catcher can. Anyway,
that's just terrible. You bring up your third catcher for a doubleheader, and he pinch hits once.
No. Zunino's the guy who can't hit anything.
No, I understand, but you bring up Naylor. He pinch hits once. It's a doubleheader. Start the kid in one of the games. Another story, another day. Also, listen to Locked On Guardians.
Juan Thornhill. There's a couple of things. Obviously, you know, some of the criticism with Woods last year was not playing to John Johnson's strengths in many regards. Jim Schwartz is a guy who wants to play a whole lot of single high. Juan Thornhill is a guy who's played almost exclusively single high. It doesn't mean he can't play too high and the Browns are going to do some too high. It just means Thornhill can do that, play that role well, and be a factor. If you give him more help and now you only got to cover half the field, he's only going to be better. So Thornhill's obviously a critical component in this. He's going to, you know, solidify the back end and be able to make plays on the ball. Thornhill has corner cover athleticism and skills with the ability to play free safety. So he's obviously a huge part of this. And obviously on the Andrew Berry redemption tour of getting all the picks I wanted at the time to fix this team. But having said all that, none of them are as critical as Ward is. It's just, again, the money, the talent involved and what he can do and what we've seen him do at times, again, against a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, being able to take that type of player away or at least limit him. And, you know, Denzel Ward was critical in games where the Browns have just frustrated the Bengals passing game, which is obviously one of the strongest in the league. And the Browns are the one team that have consistently frustrated them, save for this last game that the two teams played.
And the thing is, and it's a great collaboration of talent. There's no question about it. But as we start to make the transition here to segment three, and this is something we talked about in years past, it's how fast does it come together? How fast does it happen? And we're going to focus that a little bit here as we make our transition here to segment three, because I'm not sure the Browns can truly afford that with what is ahead of them to begin the 2023 season. So we're going to get to that. Jeff Lloyd, Pete Smith, your latest Locked On Browns. For everybody who makes Locked On Browns their first listen, all you everydayers, you guys are the absolute best. To the new folks who've been here since the draft, this is Darius Smith acquisition, rookie camp, OTAs, all of that. How about you be a little bit more like the everydayers? Make Locked On Browns your first listen every day, and make sure you subscribe to Locked On Browns on YouTube. Make sure you have the notifications on audio-wise. Locked On Browns is available wherever you get your podcasts. Always available. Always free. Thank you, everybody. Now, Pete, we talked about this, and I remember this heavily in 2021. And it was going to take a little time. There was going to be a little maturation process. Everybody, look, there's only so much you can do in OTAs. There's only so much you can do in training camp. Guys don't play nearly the amount of snaps that they need. I will never say they should because it is a preseason. But ideally, if you could take the health factor out of it, you would play them more. It's the risk problem that is the biggest one. You know they need that time to gel together. You know they need those reps together. And there's got to be the, I know if this is coming, this is the way. If Denzel's on my left, this is the way he's going to handle that. And there is just so much to that. And the amount of physical reps and live reps you need to get that and get that understanding and get that respect for each other and knowing of each other. Basically, I need to know, you know, I view you like my hand. I know what you are going to do. But the Browns, with this early season slate, and you're starting off with Cincinnati, which, I mean, this is what you do right now if you are Andrew Berry. This is why you bring in Jim Schwartz. This is the first mountain we're trying to climb here in getting through the AFC and then hopefully trying to get ourselves to Super Bowl is, you know, what can I do to give myself? And look, it is weird because, you know, for the Browns, the Bengals right now is their first litmus test. It is their first hump to get to where they ultimately want to go. They do play well against them. They have matched up well against them. But everything evolves. Everything changes. You know, with Higgins, Boyd, Chase, Joe Burrow, this is what you are gunning for. And obviously, for the Browns, one of the keys has been with lesser defensive lines, they have been able to harass the living daylights out of Joe Burrow. But when the D-line doesn't come like it can, and you go on the road late in the season to Cincinnati, and within a freak split of the second, Taj Boyd is out, T. Higgins is out, and then you can't cover two dudes that Pete and I barely remember their names, all of a sudden now are lighting you up, it becomes an issue. But Pete, this secondary, and there's not a lot of newness to it, but there is the overall aspect that everyone is learning this new system collectively together at the same time, and they need this to happen quicker. They don't necessarily have the grace period that they would like for this all to, you know, the understanding of it, but they don't necessarily have that time or that luxury for this to start slow on the defensive side of the ball.
Trenton Irwin, is that one of them? Anyway.
16, that's all I remember, the flea flicker.
Do they have time? Sure. And look, they're integrating one player, really. In Juan Thornhill, and granted, obviously,
yes, but to a new
they system. Have other guys that are going to do it, like Cameron Mitchell and some of these others, and younger players. They've got to get Rodney McLeod, but he's a veteran. So there's things to work out. I mean, part of this is the fact that the Browns aren't going to be as complicated.
Well, Rodney McLeod comes in, it might be he might have the easiest road to everybody here. So
one would hope, but it's simpler coverages. You know, they're going to play a ton of man. I expect they're going to play a good amount of match, which is another way of doing man. Cover three, another vehicle to do man. The stuff where you can get caught up and obviously hit the Browns at times last year was what, you know, when you're doing read type plays and, you know, based on what the receiver does, you know, there may be a switch involved. That can get you in trouble and that may take some time, but ultimately that's just processing what's happening and doing your job. They're not going to do as many zones, as they have in the past, even though they're going to do some trap coverages and stuff like that to try to get the opponent off kilter. But since so much of their stuff is man, that shouldn't be a big deal. I mean, so much of what Jim Schwartz wants to do is he keeps it simple and aggressive in the back and then complicates it up front, because in either, you know, if you're more complicated in the back, you tend to be slower theoretically just by processing more information. If you're more complicated up front with like stunts in the form of like twists and loops and stuff, the defensive line that has been called, they can still go fast and do it. That's where you're trying to confuse the opponent, trying to confuse the protection and the quarterback. But either way, Jim Schwartz wants speed and to go as fast as humanly possible. So the way he's doing it is allowing the DBs to play faster, to think less and just react. He's allowing the defensive line to just attack, even if it's sort of a called play to do it. And that's where sort of the tricks, so to speak, or the trying to disguise things is really going to happen.
We've done a lot of secondary talk here, Pete, today. And one of the guys that we have really barely mentioned, one of the holdovers here and actually a contract year for him as well, is safety Grant Delpit. And, you know, who knows exactly, you know, what we saw early on in camp as a rookie before he blew out the Achilles was they wanted to use Grant Delpit in all facets. You know, as the Jim Schwartz defense, I guess maybe we'll use the word evolved, I guess, or closed out in the final season, we saw a lot more of Grant Delpit in the box around the line of scrimmage. Here was a guy at LSU who had a reputation of being able to do both here. But you bring in Thornhill, who you pretty much have, you know, thoughts of exactly what he is going to do. Do we start to get to see a little bit more maybe of, you know, Grant Delpit and versatility, or does McLeod hinder that with what he can do? where does, you know, number 22 kind of fit into all this? Because it always seems there's a lot of talk about members of the Cleveland Browns defense. And as, you know, last year went on, and, you know, I think Grant Delpit held his own pretty darn well. You know, certainly, you know, there were some bad days. Everybody had some bad days on that Browns defense. But where does number 22 ultimately settle into this defense with Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, Grant Delpit has had two very good second half of the seasons in back-to-back years. Depending on how Jim Schwartz wants to do this, it certainly suggests that Grant Delpit's going to be in the box more than he has been in past years, given the amount of single high and stuff you want to do. So whether that's robber type looks, which the Browns used under Woods, or just putting him down in the box to deal with tight ends or help with the run game or whatever, he can do that. Rodney McLeod, because he has experience at all three safety spots, as does Delpit, they have some options. I mean, they could either sort of try to figure out what niche each guy has and just sort of let them do what they do, or they can just say, hey, they can do all of it and they can move them around. So since they've got three very talented safeties, they can use all of them and use some of that to disguise roles and where guys are attacking from, which could cause some problems. That's sort of the big X factor, because Rodney McLeod has been a starter, you know, in so many years, and this is like the first time he will be sort of a role player, and has obviously a ton of experience in Jim Schwartz's defense. He's got a little bit of an advantage, but Grant Delpit's a really talented player, and he can do a lot of these things, potentially contributing from the slot, the box, deep, cutting the field in half, whatever. So I think it's to be determined where that goes, but like, you have to be excited about the prospect that they have. Juan Thornhill is sort of that true deep guy, and then they have two guys who can do everything else, including help on the deep end when they need to.
Seeing we have a couple of minutes here where we can put this in real quick, couple of things NFL rules wise. Yes, the ability now, three quarterbacks, you know, for the Browns. So, you know, this pairs well. DTR gets the entire experience here. Well, maybe he mentors, apprentices, interns, however you want to put it, as being possibly the quarterback number two in 2024. Who knows? Talent-wise, maybe he's capable of it this year, but they get that opportunity. But this is the one I want to focus on, Pete. And look, I will never give the NFL a hard time for player safety, but this fair catch on a kickoff, and it gives you the 25-yard line. I mean, then why are we even doing kickoffs? There's got to be some element here. And look, every special teams coach was against it. And look, I get player safety, but then what are we even bothering with it for?
So I see it from both sides. One, I think the kickoff is going to go away eventually. It's just a question of when.
So then just do it now.
Well, they want to sort of play this game where they still have it and it can still be fun.
Yeah, because we all want to see. I mean, it's literally going to be like a center fielder dropping back, waving his hand.
Well, and that's the question. Is that going to happen? Because all these special teams guys are against it. So, I mean, are they actually going to do that? We'll see. From a special team standpoint, special teams coaches want to make a name for themselves, so they return kicks. And this drove me insane with the guys that have been here, because like in 2021, the Browns were god awful at kick return and yet continued to do kick return. And I think at the end of the year, they're like, for all the kick returns they had, they were like 0.1 yards better off than they would have been taking a touchback every time, which obviously included Anthony Schwartz being like
getting maimed in New England.
So like, I get it from their standpoint why they're against it, and I get it why players would be against it, because that's jobs. That is jobs that, you know, way to make the roster.
And money on a table, man. The guy above a Ventrone may not play 8 years in the NFL anymore.
Right. So we'll see what actually happens in terms of the like impact. Because again, I understand where the NFL is coming from, but if all these coaches are against it, why are they going to do it? They'll just do what they do. And, you know, go with it. But like I said, I think kickoff is eventually going to be replaced. Whether that's going to be gone entirely and you just start at the 25-yard line, or they're going to do something sort of like what the XFL has done with that, you know, guys, there's like a line way back there and the guy, nobody can move until like they catch the ball and stuff, which is sort of interesting, but at the same time, it seemed like the XFL guys had a really difficult time like figuring it out to make it actually like productive. And there was one team, I think, that actually got okay at it and started actually producing something. But it, you know, ultimately you're delaying the inevitable. They want this super exciting playing football. They want the Josh Cribbses of the world. They want the Dante Halls of the world. They want Devin Hester's of the world to be able to do what they do, because that stuff is great. And the other reason they don't want to get rid of kickoffs is because kickoffs produce what? Commercials. And they love ad breaks. So they're going to do something that makes, even if it's just this inane kick fair catch thing, they're going to do it because it's going to give them extra ad revenue. And that's ultimately, it's a bottom line business, as is the thing with what's going on with Amazon. And, you know, basically, you know, the NFL trying to play this game where they're like really concerned about their fans as long as their last name is Bezos. So you're in this thing where, like, you know, you're going to flex games to Thursday night at the last month of the season because you want to make sure Amazon has good games and all that, but at the expense of fans who want to be in the stadium because TV money is worth more than ticket money. So, I mean, like, the NFL is looking out for the NFL and money is going to rule the day.
And, you know, look, and we'll save this because, you know, obviously next week we can get maybe a little more in depth on these real things, though. But if we're ultimately doing away with the kickoff, guess what? There needs to be an extreme plan B here, because one of the most important plays involved with kickoff is obviously onside kicks, where you were trying to get yourself back into a game late. So, you know, there's so much to this. And, you know, again, we'll see the way it all plays out. But Denzel Ward, your number three as far as most importance to the Cleveland Browns, as far as success in 2023. Cases made for Juan Thornhill, Greg Newsome, Martin Emerson, and, of course, the Browns' secondary overall, and keeping it simple early, because they have a heavy slate. So keeping these guys in coverages that they will be comfortable with. He is Pete Smith at @_PeteSmith_ Browns Digest, sportsillustrated.com. Go ahead, check it all out over there. Pete and his team do a fantastic job. Ton of content coming at you every single day. Browns Digest, SA.com. Make it part of the rotation. Myself, Jeff Lloyd, @Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. Show itself @LockedOnBrowns. Follow back account. To all the everydayers, we appreciate you so much for making Locked On Browns your first listen. My suggestion to anybody else viewing this podcast to become more like the everydayers, make Locked On Browns your first listen every day. Best way to do that is to subscribe to the Locked On Browns YouTube channel. Notifications on, content drops, you get it right away. You are there to consume it. Audio-wise, Locked On Browns is available and always free wherever you get your podcast. We will continue this week. Number two on this list, number one on this list. This has been your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound. LGB on the LOB. Let's go, Browns.